This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on November 11, 2025 in Hutchinson, Kansas.
So the empty box problem. There is this toothpaste manufacturer in Germany that had a big problem of shipping empty boxes to retail store shelves. So how many of you, when you go buy a toothpaste, want to buy an empty box? So it was a big problem for this company to the point where the executives they were losing market share. Finally, they decided they are going to take care of this empty box problem once and for all. They decided to hire the best engineers they could find to develop a process so they can get rid of this empty box problem. After a couple of months and thousands of dollars, they had a solution where toothpaste boxes, as they came out of the packaging line, traveled through this conveyor, and these smart engineers designed a high-tech scale that weighed these boxes as they were coming through. And if it was too light, it shut off the line, and an operator had to remove the empty box and restart the line. So these leaders were all excited about, hey, once it was up and running, you know how we, especially some of us, get all excited, jazzed up about something that we took care of. Okay, we got rid of this. Now we can really go places. So they set up a KPI, key performance indicator. They were watching their number of line stoppages per day. Then as things can happen, all of a sudden, a couple of months later, one of the leaders looks at that number and sees they have zero line stoppages. Like, what is going on? Is somebody not doing their job? So a couple of them decide to go on a little walk to see what they find. So they come out to this line, and we'll just call him John that was running the line. So it looked like everything was working throughout the department. Then they asked John, had a couple of questions for John. And here John had a fan blowing across the conveyor. Then they asked about line stoppage. Then he said, yeah, I got tired of getting up and restarting the lines. I bought this $20 box fan to blow across the line and blow off the empty boxes. And I did not make up this story. This is a true story that happened because somebody somewhere said, I'm fixing that problem. And it goes with this next slide. The greatest potential in any organization is the power of the collaboration of open and willing minds. That is the single most important thing that exists in operational or improvements anywhere. If we have this, then it's possible to utilize that $20 box fan instead of this high-tech solution. Because process improvement is really a journey. It's not a destination. It has to become part of our culture. Last night we had dinner with Dave Bowers, and then he asked that question, okay, what is culture? And I think it's the way we think. And that's what we need. We need to think in this context. So another little story. I think most of us in this room know who Google is. Some time ago, Google did a research on what is the secret sauce for their teams, that their top performing teams. They did a company-wide research involved thousands of people. And it came back to a very simple principle. They coined it as psychological safety. where it's simply safe to share anything that's on your mind, any ideas, and not fear to be shamed of them. It's completely open and transparent with each other. And that goes exactly with these two slides that we started with. So a couple things that we did within our facility to on process improvement. So you see this, you can't read it, but this, it's an Excel document. So we serve the Amish buggy gear market. We build undercarriages for Amish buggies. And when we started this market, we discovered us Amish people all have opinions. And especially when it comes to carriages, there's like no standard. So everyone was different. So, and I don't know how many salespeople are in the room. We need you people, but they get all excited when they get a gear order. But then it hits where we make them, and then we were missing information. Like, okay, come on, we need this. We can't. Then we commit to a deadline. Now we couldn't hit it because we were missing information. So we developed this simple document. It's an Excel document. Basically, now a salesperson can start at the top and start filling in the red boxes. And by the time he has all the red boxes fulfilled, as he starts typing, it grays out. By the time he's done, that is literally our work order that travels throughout the shop floor and has all the information that we need to make it happen. Just a simple Excel document. Now, that can be done on a carbon copy paper. It doesn't have to be done with a computer. You can do it on any piece of paper, but simply having a template to go by. And when we talk about improvement and collaborating, I tend to be fairly direct and I come across as combative if we have a conversation like this. So if I need to continually remind myself of that fact, because if I come across as the bulldog, we do not have that psychological safety to develop simple things like this. It's so simple, but if I get caught up with my ego, we can't get here. So that is so fundamental that I recently had the opportunity to listen to Stephen M. R. Covey speak, and he speaks about the speed of his book, The Speed of Trust, and it really hit a chord for me. If trust goes down, speed goes down with it, and costs go up. If trust goes up, speed goes up, and costs go down. So even if we think we have the greatest thing since sliced bread from a process improvement, if it destroys trust, we're probably better off not doing it if the time's not right yet. Because if that's lost, then all is lost. Speed and trust go down, costs go up. And if speed and trust go up, costs go down. So another document that you can't read here. So a couple years ago, we installed a new powder coating line in our facility. And it was a fairly rough journey for us to get up and get started. So we signed a contract for a powder line. I don't have this story all hammered out on the exact timeline, but let's say a year later, we discover that the company that we signed contract with sold the company and retained our contract as the last system to put in, and our contract was in violation of his, basically of his contract that he sold his company to. So it was a long, painful journey to just get up and operationally. And to be part of the powder coating team the first couple of months was not a dream job by no means. It was a lot of challenges. So After we were up and running for a while, I volunteered to help one evening spray powder, work in the powder booth and apply powder, and all of a sudden the line stops. And here we discover that we ran out of simple blankets to package product as it comes off of the line, furniture blankets. So we had to stop. Somebody had to go off-site to a store, buy furniture blankets, come back, and continue on. So a fairly simple problem, you think, but we had this document that we used on a weekly basis to go through and check inventory on powder. Basically, it's a weekly checklist of, I go through and verify that we have enough stock of all of these, whatever it may be, powder, blankets, you name it. So I asked the guy during this time, I was meeting with our powder coating supervisor on a daily basis. What went wrong today? And what do we learn from it? And what does the team need to learn? We have morning meetings as well. And what are we going to share with the team? So as we were having this conversation, he talked to the guy that was responsible for this inventory. But there was one simple little thing that was missing on this document that should have been on here, and he did not have the desired quantity that we need to stock. Let's just say we need one skid of furniture blankets or we order more. That was not on this document. So it was tribal knowledge getting that passed around as he was training the new guy that he missed some things. So I asked him, hey, well, shouldn't we consider adding that to the list? And with a little conversation, he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. So he adds it. But what I really want to get to is the next step of the journey there is I asked him, or he decided to share that change with the team the next morning in their morning meeting. Because remember, the environment we were in, it wasn't all that fun to be in that department right now because it was a painful journey. And then we failed production yesterday because we ran out of blankets. And what are we going? So we learn from it and we bring it back to the team and share, hey, this is what we did. The very important thing is we ask, hey, team, is there any other place that this could happen? Get their minds engaged in sharing. Hey, because if you want to engage a team, listen to it. But if you really want them involved, do something about their frustrations. That's when it really happens. So, another little story. So this is a tray. We have a laser cutter in our shop. Cuts parts, and there's a lot of slag that falls through the table. One of those areas that it's a little bit hard to keep it clean as it should be. So when we bought our machine, this tray that was underneath was on wheels, and you literally had to go in with a shovel and shovel it out. So not a fun job. Going back to our quote that I shared about the greatest potential. So here our laser operator and our engineering department collaborated and developed what you see on the right, a tray that's on casters that I can pull out, grab with a forklift, take it to the scrap bin and dump it, and it's done. So guess which one of those gets done the most if I can do it like this or if I need to shovel it out? And that was credit to the team working together. And if we as a leader have that command and control leadership style, we quickly, and I am chief and foremost among those, I need to be so careful that I don't kill this because it's not safe. But that's what can happen if we allow our team. So, process improvement, I broke it out into four sections. How to find improvement ideas, what to do when things go wrong, some resources to help, and how effective meetings can make a difference. Because Everything I say, if there's one thing I want you to remember, it's this greatest potential in any organization, is the power of the collaboration of open and willing minds. And I say all of this in context of we heard more about having a vision and a mission, basically where are we going? That needs to be in place in order for this to happen. So first, finding opportunities. How do we find improvement opportunities? One of the best ways is spend time with your people. And that varies, how spending time with your people looks varies a little bit depending on your organization. If you're a five-man shop, you probably don't have to be too intentional about spending time with your people. If you're a 50-man shop, that looks different. But simply asking somebody, what are your greatest frustrations from yesterday? Because in our organization, we have my role as operations manager, we have floor supervisors that lead the day-to-day operation. And it mystifies me. I haven't figured this out. It's one thing to lead people. If I have a conversation with you about a process, I think we can arrive someplace. But it's entirely different once you try to teach you to have that conversation. It's completely different. And it's a challenge that I haven't figured out yet. It's a journey. But listening to their greatest, any frustrations they have, and any time we have new processes or products, it's also great. Usually that's a great opportunity for process improvements when you're doing something new. Our powder coating line was a classic. Another thing we do to try to maintain connection to employees is simply we go around passing out paychecks every Friday or every other Friday. One of us owners goes around and physically hands paychecks out to each and every one, maintaining that connection. We have a monthly safety meeting. The day before a meeting, we do that as well. And that's not that I'm making those improvements, but you hear things that you have to, you hear things, okay, what are some opportunities that we can get better as an organization? So, another, we talk about process improvements. I didn't really just focus on lean principles for this topic, but downtimes is a lean tool that works really well to get a team thinking. What are some wastes that you have in your organization? And if you go through these and you talk about, okay, how does overproduction look in our facility? Again, what can we do to engage their mind? Another great tool, kind of in the lean toolbox, is it has various iterations of it, but the airplane simulation, assembling airplanes in various configurations with Lego blocks and monitoring the results. How quickly can you get airplanes completed? How many defects you have and the quality of them. It's a great tool to get some mind share and stimulate thoughts. Now, if we have too many opportunities, how do we determine if my idea wins or not, basically? Gabe would tell you that he's always right. It's just a matter of time till he gets the others to see his perspective. So, anyway, this, and all jokes aside, if I have an idea, and let's use this front table, each of us has an improvement idea that we think is the greatest. So how do we decide? And this simple rating system has been very effective to remove the emotion from the decision. How can we bring data, or how can we use data compared to just going by who screams the loudest. It's simple, and you can do it in any way you want to. So I just, on the top, I have efficiency gains, ease of implementation, and employee morale improvement. You can put anything on the top. On the left side, we have three opportunities. Move the press brakes, new welding cell, and new laser cell. Now, you go through and you number those. So 10, it being very easy, 1, it being very hard. So if we look at move the press brakes, direct effect to efficiency gains it at a 9. Ease of implementation, it's complicated. It's not easy to move a 50,000 pound press. So employee morale improvement, now you just use that as a multiplier. 9 times 3 is 27. 27 times 7 is your 189. It really brings it out where the greatest opportunity is. And it takes it away from just the guy that screams the loudest. And the team needs to be involved when we do a rating like this. So another little story on General Electric. I don't know how many of you guys follow them at all or not, but back in, I think it was in 2018, Larry Culp was brought in as an outside CEO to General Electric. And from 2016 to 19, GE went from $9 billion of free cash to $600 million in that four-year time period. And it was fascinating to me what he did when he arrived. Is the first thing he did, first major project was the facility where they manufactured these wind turbine wings. So they literally built a little scale of their small scale of their facility models and moved machinery around to where they have had a continuous flow. They ripped all of their machinery out, rearranged it, and they reduced that blade production journey from 3 miles in a plant to 85 feet. Or sorry, to 165 feet. 85 days in production versus 42%, it was a 42% reduction in labor inputs. And what really, but the very basic thing, he had three focus points. Focus on the customer, elimination of waste, and the ruthless prioritization of work. Those were his three things that he focused on when he rearranged this facility. And that point is really what struck me. It's so simple. I've heard the term that Elon Musk uses, get rid of all the dumb stuff. Now, I'm not proposing the model that he follows. That's not what I'm saying. But that it's so simple. It's so easy to take the approach of hiring that smart engineer to fix the problem when the problem is really in the room. We just need to draw it out and create an environment where it's safe because your greatest potential. So, now when things go wrong, how many of you like when things go wrong? We heard Dave talk about it. When things go wrong are the greatest opportunity. That's when we learn the most. But I think it's still in our nature to resist it when things go wrong. And if something goes wrong, it's very easy to immediately go, who was it? Who did it? Who was the guy at fault? At least that's my first nature. But if we can slow down and start asking why 5 times before we develop an opinion of what's wrong, truly wrong, and really try to get to the root of the cause of what went wrong rather than just treating the symptom. Because if we go back to the toothpaste story, They only treated a symptom. They didn't even fix their problem. They still had empty boxes coming out. Now, it may not have been a big deal, but they never, I don't know if they ever got to it, but they didn't fix the root of their problem. So, but try to get to the root and asking why five times, a lot of times you will be surprised what you find compared to what your initial reaction is. I can speak from experience in that, and from that standpoint. Then, so dealing with when things go wrong, everybody is created uniquely. We all have personalities and can't remember this previous speaker's name, but Ken Knisley, when he was up here, he showed his wheel of his strength. He said he needs the team. And every one of us needs a team, even if we're a sole owner, because without a team, it's not possible to get too far. But what really, it really comes out when we have, when something goes wrong, our true emotions can boil over if we're not careful. If we don't use a predetermined process, how do we solve problems? So a little story on this. In our shop, we have our fab department that produces metal parts and our welding department that welds parts. And we have a robotic welder that we use to weld a lot of parts. So it's very important that we have this department producing a high quality, precise part, or if I'm a welder, I can't do my job well. Seems pretty basic fundamental, or it seems pretty basic. We had a situation where our guy leading at that time was a really, he's probably the hardest working guy that I'll ever have worked for. I don't think I could keep up with him. A really hard working guy. But when things went wrong, he just had a really hard time accepting it. And one day, we had this battle between, we had this rivalry between these two departments. And he lost it in front of a couple team members. I wasn't present when it happened, but I had the opportunity to deal with it afterwards. And this guy's heart is actually right. He broke down when we talked about it. He broke down and said, I know, I just really struggle with this. With containing his emotions and not letting that be his initial response when things go wrong. And I guess my challenge to each one of you is how we deal with problems in the workplace has an impact far beyond just the workplace. Teaching a model, a true Christ-like model, will affect how the dad he is to his children, how he responds, compared to if we actually allow inappropriate behavior like that. So I guess my encouragement to you is have something that you go by. Some resources that can help. There's a lot of resources out there to help in process improvements. Books to read, business advisors, relationships. And it's easy for us. Most of us in this room are leaders to some degree in our business. And a day like this is a day of learning and exposure. And I need to remind myself that I provide an environment for our people to have some of that as well. Because that actually opens the world to us. Okay, how are some different ways that things can be done? Going on shop tours has been very effective for us. Letting our department supervisor determine where they want to take their people, simply to look at another operation, just to expand their horizons. It has a very can have a very positive impact. Another one is I have a tooling vendor. So when a couple years ago we bought our first CNC lathe, And our tooling vendor was a retired machinist that was used to running that exact machine that we bought. And he taught our guys a ton that we didn't have to pay for. All we had to do was buy tooling, and he was happy. So use those resources and help your team utilize those resources as well, because you can't be there all the time. They have got to learn that even if you're not present. So effective meetings. Are meetings a process that can be improved? How many of you have meetings to run your business, at least occasionally? I think most all of us have occasional meetings, and we talk about personalities. Some of us get carried away by chasing the flavor of the month. And I think it has some personalities, it's easier to do that. But having effective meetings can be a powerful tool to eliminate that. That your guys don't go like, huh, I wonder how long this will stick. Because that's easy to do as a leader. We commit to a path, okay, let's stick to it. So just a couple of things on meetings. And that could be an hour topic by itself. So I'm just going to touch on it briefly. To start, who needs to be in the meeting? Ask yourself the question when scheduling a meeting is, what is the goal? What do you want to achieve out of this meeting? And then ask yourself who needs to attend so we can make that happen? It just drives me crazy if I get a blind invite for a meeting with no explanation of what it's about, or what am I supposed to come or to bring or study before so we can have a productive time. So we had a situation within the last month where we had started monitoring our ship date changes. How often do we change a ship date on a order to our customers? Measure to improve, try to improve our customer experience. So we had our first two meetings, and I told our production supervisor, hey, we're doing this just as an FYI. If you hear something, we're monitoring this and having some conversation around. And our shipping guy pipes up and says, hey, he thinks this is that's a great thing. We have had this happen. And all of a sudden I realized I'm missing a guy in my meeting. He has very direct information that pertains to exactly what we didn't want to talk about, and I completely missed it. So include them if they have good information for you. A couple other elements of an effective meeting is having a clear agenda. The items that you want to talk about, we're talking about X, Y, and Z. Then the clear to-dos, because any meeting should determine who does what by when. Who does what by when? And then that last bullet point, accountability to the finish line. How can you drive all the way to the finish line? Because it's easy if you have a reoccurring meeting. Maybe this never happens in your organization, but we have a meeting today. We talk about the hot button issues that happened the last 2 days. 2 weeks from now, we do this again. We talk about the hot button issues from the last 2 or 3 days. Well, what happened about the time we talked about 2 weeks ago? It's easy to get caught up in that habit. So we use the L10 structure. It's out of the Traction EOS book. If you want to read more about it, that's the meeting format that we use. But probably the fundamental thing that they teach you is the first thing we do if we have a meeting today, that's a reoccurring meeting, is we review the to-dos that we determined in the last meeting. We read them off and we confirm they're done or they're not. talking about driving accountability, and it's if you set that expectation in every meeting, it actually becomes part of, okay, that's just how we do it. But that allows you to drive issue, drive to-dos through to ensure that they don't get missed and that you're not just talking about the hot-button issues of the last 2 days. So I really encourage that principle. So the four things, improvement opportunities when things go wrong, resource, and the effective meeting that we've covered. So this process and how we solve problems is so, I elaborated a little bit on it earlier, but I had something happen recently that I was reminded of the impact of this. So we employ mostly Amish people in our community, and we have an Amish bishop that works for us. This is mostly a Mennonite Mennonite people here. Maybe you'd never have church issues, but unfortunately, we do. And this Amish bishop was involved in helping out in a congregation where they were tearing apart. It's a sad story. And one day we were talking about it at work. Okay, how? We were talking about the situation, and his comment was just, he said he just wishes they could sit at a table and talk about their issues and challenges like we do here at work. And I say that it's not me doing that. It's a culture that we need to develop within our Anabaptist businesses that can have that impact, that it changes. It's actually a higher purpose than just solving problems at work. It goes far beyond that. So to wrap up, the greatest potential in any organization is the power of a collaboration of open and willing minds. Thank you and have a good day.